All right, we're going into the book of Ruth, chapter number 3. Ruth, chapter 3. Quite an interesting study as we look at this tonight. I pray that the Lord might give you some insight, some things. And we're not through with chapter 2. We're not actually through with chapter 1. We just want to deal with some things. I don't want to linger it and carry it on and on and on. But at the same time, there's some truths out of the book of Ruth that we need to pick up and carry on with. And I thank God every time we pick it up that you can just see something else that's a blessing. So, reading tonight in Ruth chapter 3, we'll start at verse number 1, read down through verse number 6. I'd like for you to stand, please, and let's read together. Ruth chapter number 3, verse number 1 down through verse number 6. Reading the Bible said, "Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, 'My daughter, shall I not rest for thee that it may be well with thee? And now is not Boaz of our kindred with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor. But make not thyself known unto the man, until he shall have done eating and drinking. And it shall be, when he lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do.' And she said unto her, 'All that thou sayest unto me, I will do.' And she went down under the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her." You can be seated. Now let's pray and ask God's leadership and guidance and look at these thoughts tonight and see what kind of truths we can draw out that might strengthen us. Our Father, as we bow in Your presence, I pray, God, that You might give us wisdom, understanding. May we rightly divide the word of truth tonight. Lord, may we not add anything to it, nor take anything away from it. We realize, God, there's a curse on our head for doing that. So I pray tonight, Father, that You might touch every individual in this building who've taken time in a cold day to come to the house of God. And so I pray that this night, God, that You'll give them something, that You'll spread the table for them, that we'll feast off of the riches of Your grace tonight, grow in strength and knowledge and nurture, God, tonight, that we might be strong and strengthened to go out and carry on the work for God. And we'll give You the praise and the glory for what You're going to accomplish. If there's any discouraged, I pray You'd encourage them. Lord, any today that's got needs in their hearts and life, meet those needs, and we'll give You the praise for what You're going to accomplish. In Jesus' precious and holy name we humbly pray, amen and amen. I want to label the message tonight, the thought is, seek rest. You'll find that in verse number 1. It said, "Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, 'My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee?'" Now, who's seeking rest for who? Naomi's seeking rest for Ruth. Now, looking at chapter number 1 about Ruth, just for a minute, let's just get something in our mind. In chapter number 1, we find that Ruth, she's seeking hope or she's seeking help. She's in need. She's lost her husband. She's distraught to that sense. And so she's trying to find, in chapter number 1, help. In chapter number 2, we find that she's come back with Naomi to the land of Bethlehem. And we find that she's, in verse number 2 of chapter number 2, she's seeking grace. She's looking for grace. Chapter 1, she's trying to find some hope or some help. In chapter number 2, she's trying to find some grace. And she's trying to find the grace that she can with Boaz. But in chapter 3, she's looking for rest. She's needing rest. Now, this is the way it works in your life tonight as a Christian, right? She's trying to find some rest. Now, I'll jump over to this and just give you a prelude of what's going to happen in chapter 4. Chapter 4, she's not looking for help. She's not looking for grace. She's not looking for rest. But she's looking for happiness. And that's in a marriage. And that's what she's looking for in the chapter number 4. So we'll find that. Get the message and the meaning and thought of where this is. In the last chapter, chapter 2, and the last verse, verse 23, we'll find that she kept beside the maidens, or fast by the maidens, which we talked about last week, she gleaned unto the end of the barley harvest. Now, the barley harvest only lasted a little short a period of time. And so now when we get to chapter 3, she don't have enough to sustain her for a long length of time. So Naomi is getting the sense and the thought tonight that, hey, what we got to do is find some kind of rest on down the road. And this rest is not talking about sitting down and folding your hands and propping your feet up in an easy chair. It just means that we're going to get that time of our needs to be met and those things to be brought to us and where we can have some kind of support and some kind of being taken care of in the days ahead. So that's what Naomi is considering when she's telling Ruth what she's telling her. Now, by the way, the Bible teaches us, and let me give you some scriptures out of the book of Hebrews. There's a lot to cover, and I don't know how much we'll get covered. We'll just cover what we can and go down here. This is a very, very interesting story when we get to looking at all this. In Hebrews chapter number 4. Matter of fact, Hebrews chapter 3 and chapter number 4 is talking about the Israelites, how that they did not get into the land of Canaan soon enough. God wanted them to leave Egypt and get into Canaan. By the way, let me say this tonight. Every child of God, God wants you to have prosperity. It's not necessarily having 3 or 4 cars and a house on the lake and all that. That's not the kind of prosperity the Lord really, you know, is trying to say. But God wants us to have a spiritual prosperity where that we're blessed, where that we're touched. You can be prosperous in God and not have a penny in your pocket. Amen. And so God is trying to get us to be there. God wants us to have a rest or a time of prosperity. Chapter 3, God wanted the Israelites and the Hebrews, He wanted them to leave Egypt and get into Canaan. It took them 40 years to get where they're supposed to be. And God had to bury a lot of them, had a lot of problems and trials, and God cut some of them short. And we know how it is, that through the hardness of their heart, they did not listen to God, and so therefore they fell short, did not get into the land of Canaan. But God said in chapter number 4, verse number 3, "For we which have believed do enter into rest, as He said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world." Now the rest He's talking about is that when you get to where you can trust God, depend on God, lean on God, and have everything from the Lord. You can have rest. Your life is in a turmoil as long as you're looking for something and needing something. Amen? And so God's trying to get us to have a spiritual rest in Him. Verse number 4, "For He spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all His works." Of course, He sat down. But He said, "In this place again, if they shall enter into my rest." And God wants you to get, and He's not talking about a physical rest particularly here. He's talking about a spiritual rest when you can get the place that you're not concerned and worried and troubled about how you're going to make ends meet. We got so many Christians tonight, they're troubled in turmoil because they have not yet learned how to trust God. Some of you still haven't learned, and we're learning day by day. More of you know how to trust God now than you did before, or maybe you know how to trust God more now than you did in days past, but you still got a long road to go, amen, to be able to get to trust God with everything and for all things, amen. We have a turmoil. Now verse 6 said, "Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief." And that's why we don't have that rest. Now, He's not talking about entering into glory. You see, He's not talking about entering into heaven here. We'll have that rest. There will remain, therefore, a rest to the people of God. We will get that later. Amen. But we need to have the rest of God in our heart tonight before we get any further. Now, notice what Jesus said. Even the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 11. I want you to turn there. This is Scripture that you know and you can quote it. But I want you to turn with me and mark it in your Bible tonight. Matthew chapter 11. Notice what Jesus is saying. He's saying in chapter 11 and verse number 28. I'll give you time to turn there. Some of you can quote it. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." Now the labor is those who are toiling. Those that, when you're laboring, brother, you're toiling. That's work. Those who are busy and are heavy laden. That's those who are troubled. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." And He said, "I will what? I will give you rest." Now, God put that in there. He wants us to have rest. And the people of God need to have it. Verse 29, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart." And then He said, "And ye what? Shall find rest unto your souls." So you see, the Lord tonight wants us to have rest. And so what it is, and Naomi is trying to tell Ruth now, what we need is some settled security. We need some security of the days ahead, some trouble. Hey, somebody said, and you know what? The saints of God today are troubled about the economy. They're troubled about what might happen tomorrow and what might happen in the days ahead. And they're worrying about inflation. They're worrying about everything else and crisis. But you know what? If we ever get to where we need to be with God, we won't worry about those things. God has taken care of us thus far. He'll take care of us the rest of the way. I believe that with all my heart. Amen. And so I preach that and believe it with all my heart. I really do. Now, what Ruth is being told here, and Naomi's telling her, is Naomi is saying to Ruth, what you need right now, Ruth, is a closer relationship to Boaz. Notice verse 1. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, my daughter, shall I not seek rest? In other words, that security, that prosperity, that close relationship. Said, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? That it may be... In other words, I'm looking for your welfare. Now I want to stop just a minute and point out something here that you need to see overall in the book of Ruth. Now, we can take the story and begin to just to look at the story by itself, and just the book of Ruth by itself in a romance story is a beautiful story. But that's not the way God, or not all that God put it in here for. It's got some application in our hearts. It's also got some prophetic thoughts about it. And it's got some applications that are practical that we ought to apply to our heart. Now think about, first of all, who in the world is Naomi? If you'll go back to chapter 1, we preached it when I was in the first chapter. We preached Naomi as a what? Backslider. Do you remember that? She was a backslider who got right with God. Now, Elimelech and Mahlon and Chilion were backsliders along with Naomi. All four of those are backsliders to a degree. But they all were in different stages of backsliding. And we find that all of those three of them, they buried them down in Moab. And only one by the name of Naomi came out of there. She is a backslider that has got things straightened out and come back to God. I told you that she is the Old Testament prodigal. You remember that? So she, in chapter 1, is a backslider. And when we get to chapter number 2, her role and typology changes a little bit. From chapter 2 on down through chapter 4, she is not only a type of a backslider that has, wasted her life and come back to the place, and she said, don't call me Naomi. She said, because I'm bitter. The Almighty hath dealt bitterly with me. So we'll find that she's a type of backslider in chapter 1. But when you get to chapter number 2, and she had a little bit of it in chapter 1, but in chapter 2, she starts giving advice to her daughter-in-law. And she starts giving out some good advice. Some godly advice. And so we'll liken her in chapter 2. And I'll go back and preach this sometime, hopefully, before we get through the book of Ruth. But I'm going to make her a type tonight of the church. So turn into chapter 3, verse number 1. Let's look at this. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, my daughter, shall I seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? Putting her in the type of a church tonight, or the church of the living God, what is she doing? She's given some godly advice. She's given, it's a type of the church. She's telling Ruth, and by the way, throughout chapter 3, she can tell you where Boaz is. Naomi can. She can tell you what Boaz is doing. She can tell you what Boaz can do. Because she says in chapter number 3 and verse number 1 and 2, and it said that Boaz is of the kindred, you see. And so several times in chapter 2, she's called him the kinsman. And so she knows that he's part of the family. Now to be a kinsman redeemer, I've told you this before, but by way of remembrance and review, I'll give you this. The kinsman redeemer had to have three qualifying thoughts about it. Number one, he had to be able. He had to be qualified. In other words, he had to be capable of redeeming. Did he not? So he had to have that. He had to do that. And also, he had to be near of kin. He could not be outside the family. And thirdly, he not only had to be near of kin and capable,
But he had to be willing to redeem. And we find Boaz is the type of that. And he did do that. And we find that he's a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, because Jesus, amen, he is near kin to us, because he took on flesh, came to this walk of life. Amen. He identified himself with man. Amen. Part of us. And then we know he's not only capable, and he's also willing. So we find that tonight. So he's our kinsman redeemer. But here Naomi is beginning to tell us something. She's the type of the church here. And she's trying to say, hey, look, I want to tell you about a Boaz. And so you'll find that Naomi, from chapter 2, chapter 3, and chapter 4, she's exalting Boaz. Always exalting Boaz. Is that not what the church is to do tonight? It's to exalt the heavenly Boaz, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our job is to lift up Jesus wherever we go, any day of the world, every day of our life. We are to exalt our heavenly Boaz, Jesus Christ. Not only that, but the church is to give some godly advice. And so she's saying to Ruth, what you need to do is find rest. Is that not what the churches should be doing today? Telling the world that they need to find rest. And they can only find rest in one person, and that is in Jesus Christ. She's sold out to that thing, and so she's trying to incorporate that. And by the way, she's got a concern and a love for Ruth. Amen. Just like the church ought to have a concern and a love for people in the world. We ought to desire that everybody could find grace and find peace and find rest in the Lord. Amen. Now, she's a type of the church, and we'll come back and preach that sometime. Now, I want us to go down and look at this. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? In other words, that you'll have that prosperity, that you'll have that blessing, that you'll have that fine relationship with the Lord, or with Boaz in this case, that you can have all your needs met. So that's what she's doing. Now in verse 2, and now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? In other words, she's saying, this is who you need to have a closer relationship. Ruth, I'm going to tell you now what you need to do, that you're going to get in a real connection with Boaz. And she said, Boaz is your only hope. Boaz is your help. Boaz is your way out of this thing. And if you're ever going to go forward, you've got to come through Boaz. And every child of God in this building needs to recognize, if we're ever going to go forward, it's going to be through Jesus Christ, not the world, not anybody else, but through Jesus Christ and Him alone. Am I right? Now stay with me. And as we go here in verse number 2, and thou is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast. Now, behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. I told you that Naomi knew where he was. Amen. The church ought to always know where the Lord Jesus is. Amen. He is the head of the church. And as the head of the church, we should always know where the boss is. Amen. And we ought to always know where our orders are and where we get our direction. So Naomi said, now, Ruth, if you want to find him and get a closer relationship with him, and I'm believing Naomi is seeing the church in a sense, and she said, hey, look, what you need is a husband. That's in the back of her mind. And Boaz will fit the bill. He is a near kinsman. He's worth enough to take care of you. And he's able to do that. And I believe he's willing. And she's saying that in her mind. Now, Ruth, I'll tell you where you'll find him. He's down at the threshing floor, and he's winnowing barley tonight. Notice tonight. Amen. Now, let me just give you a little thought. Is the church in the night season tonight? Sure it is. We're in the closing days of the day of grace. Brother, I'll tell you tonight, let's look at this thing, and I've got some things I'll come back and talk about Boaz in this area, but tonight I'm gonna stay specifically on Ruth and Naomi. And what's coming out here about Boaz? So we find, she said, he's down there winnowing barley. It was the customary in those days that in the field, at the high spot of the field, at the highest place, and sometimes on a big hill, they would have it flattened out, and it'd either be with rock, or it would be with some stuff put on where the grass wouldn't grow, and it'd be hardened where it would not be soft, and that's where they would bring the barley. And the barley had to be beaten. You notice it was referred to in chapter 2 one time. And so we find that they would beat that barley with rods, or they would take an oxen and let it go around and around, pulling a wheel, a grindstone of some kind, not a grindstone, but a stone of some sort to roll over it, so that it would break all that apart. And then those owners of that thing, like Boaz, would get out there and they'd winnow that. In other words, they'd pick it up. And they'd do it at night, because in the afternoon, that's when the breezes begin to blow. And two reasons: they spent most of the time in the harvest times at the field. They stayed there constantly because of two things. One, to keep the thieves from coming in and stealing what barley or what wheat they had. And the second thing is so that they could work all night and get it all broke up so that they could use it. So they would break it up and bust it up, and then they'd throw it up in the air, and the wind would blow away all the chaff and the stuff away, and what would fall back down would be that, and they'd keep crushing that to get it all until they got all that out. That's called winnowing. And they'd get all that out. Now Ruth says, or Naomi says to Ruth, go down there. That's where he's at. And what he's going to do, he's going to get tired, and he's going to work and work and work. And when he gets tired, he'll stop and drink and eat. And when he does, he'll lay down and go to sleep. And when he lays down and go to sleep, I want you to get up and go down there where he's at. Amen. That's what Naomi's trying to tell her. And so don't you tonight put anything in this scripture that's not there. I'll tell you right now, everything's perfect right in the eyes of God. Amen. Now, we'll find that she came to the threshing floor. But here's what Naomi told her she's got to do before she goes down there where Boaz is. If she's going to get a closer relationship to Boaz, in other words, if she's going to get closer to know him and have a relationship with Boaz that's going to take care of her in days ahead, here's some things you're going to do. Six things that I believe we'll point out tonight that Naomi told her she must do. Number one, got to wash thyself. Amen. Now, what does that mean? It's a type of the new birth, being born in the family of God. Amen. You're going to have a close relationship with the Son of God? You can't have until you're saved. Got to be born again. Got to be birthed in the family of God. You got to be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Your sins must be forgiven. Are you with me? Amen. You've got to have that. So we find, he said, wash thyself therefore. God wants us to be, Naomi was saying to her, you've got to be clean and presentable. God wants us to be clean when we approach His throne. Now, brother, you'll never be able to get down at the feet. Now, we're talking about the feet of Jesus. In this case, it's the feet of Boaz. How many of you'd like to be at the feet of Jesus tonight? Amen. All right, here you are. Here you mark down these six things you're going to have to do if you ever get at His feet. When you're at the feet of Jesus, brother, that's a good place to be. I don't want to be at His head. Amen. I'm not doing His thinking. I don't deserve to be anywhere but at His feet. Amen. Somebody said, no, I want to sit down beside Him. You're not worthy to sit down beside Him. Amen. I want to be at His feet. Matter of fact, I'd be satisfied to get there. Amen. I'm wanting to get at His feet so I can enjoy the fellowship of the Son of God. And so here he is. Naomi said, Ruth, if you want to get down His feet, here's what you got to do. First of all, got to wash yourself. Now, by the way, I wanted you to know tonight this. Now, you can't just take yourself and cleanse yourself and wash yourself and save yourself. Amen. Now, you said, what do you mean? Well, let me just present this to you tonight. Let me just throw something in. In chapter number 2, if you'll remember, that when Ruth decided she'd go out the fields and to glean, she didn't know whose field she was going to. Neither did Naomi. Remember the story. I hope you hadn't missed some of that, or maybe I didn't give it to you, but I hope I did. But in the second chapter, we'll find that who approached who. We find she got in the field. Ruth did. When she got in the field, she addressed the young men of the field and said, I'd like to have permission to glean in this field. Now, by the way, she didn't know it was Boaz. But later she found out it was the field of Boaz, which she finally told Naomi. Amen. And guess what? The reason she found out it was the field of Boaz is because Boaz showed up one day in the first chapter, in the first part of chapter 2, and said, who's this maiden? Amen. Now, what it means is, that it's a type of Boaz coming to her first. Amen. Now you say, what are you getting at? In the New Testament, let me tell you what. You didn't come finding Jesus. You didn't come looking for Him. He came looking for you. God sent His Son to die on the cross of Calvary. It was the Holy Ghost that came down, knocked on your heart's door, and told you that you was a lost, hell-bound, hell-deserving sinner. And as the Lord Jesus, through the Spirit of God, told you that He came to die for you on the cross of Calvary, and He wanted you to come unto Him. Is that right? All right. Now we go on a little bit here. So we'll find in chapter number 2 that Boaz came to Ruth. Now in chapter number 3, we find just in the order of salvation that Ruth comes to Boaz. It wasn't until God came to me through the Spirit of God in the preaching that I recognized I was a sinner. And brother, when He woke me up and let me see I was on my way to hell, that's when I came to Him. Somebody said, I found the Lord. I never found Him. He found me. He came where I was. Amen. Except the Spirit of God draw you, you'll never be saved. Amen. You've got to come through that drawing power. Brother, that's why we need the Holy Ghost in our churches like we've never needed it before. We need to have sinners be awakened but from their sin. And the only way we can get them awakened from their sin is to preach hell so hot they can feel it, heaven so sweet they can hear the angels sing, and to preach it with the power of God to open up their eyes and let them see that they're lost and undone and on their way to hell. God help us tonight. We need the power of God. Are you with me? You didn't know all that in the book of Ruth here, did you? Amen. But I'm telling you, it's there. Let's go a little bit further. First of all, she said, you've got to wash yourself. You've got to get this place. In other words, you not be defiled with sin. If you ever get to the feet of Jesus, you won't get there with sin in your life. I'm talking about to find this place of rest. Now, as an old sinner, you can come before Him. You can bow before Him. But you'll never find that rest at His feet until you first of all bow some altar somewhere and call upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, by the way, let me throw in something else that the Holy Spirit just showed me. And that is this. She said he's down winnowing barley at the threshing floor. Let's recognize the threshing floor here just a little bit. Where in the world's that? That's the place of the meeting. Amen. And I want to liken that to the place where you hear the preaching. Brother, where do you find rest? Where do you find Boaz? You find him down at the house of God. You find him down at the church house. You can get saved at the hog lot. You can get saved in the back bedroom. You can get saved in the living room. You can get saved in the backyard. But I want to tell you something. The best place to find him is to go down where he's at the house of God. Amen. And God wants us to find where he's at. And the church is to point men and women and say, hey, out here on the side of the road at Bible Way Baptist Church, you can come out here and find Jesus. We need to let the world know that they can find Christ down here at this place. Amen. Now, let's go a little bit further and let's look at some more things. First of all, she said, you need to wash thyself. Amen. What's that mean? Seek forgiveness and forsake your sin. That's what you need to do. That's washing yourself. But then, brother, you seek forgiveness from God. That's the only way you can get washed. If you wash yourself, what you got to do? You gotta go to the cleansing place. Where's the cleansing place? It's at the laver in the tabernacle. But brother, it's at the throne of God for a sinner. And it's by the blood of Jesus Christ that you're washed in the blood. And you've got to come through the blood. So we find that how you wash yourself. Number 2, she said, and anoint thee. Number 1, you wash yourself. And number 2, you anoint yourself. Now, or anoint thee. Now, she's given this as a typology. You anoint yourself. In other words, that anointing was, you don't want to be a stinker. You want to be kind of a little perfumed a little bit. Amen. You're going down to see Boaz. And you need to anoint yourself. Put them a little that smell good on you. Now you said, preacher, let's get an application of that to us if we want to get at His feet as a child of God. Are we supposed to go out there and spray on cologne? That's not what He's talking about here. I mean, spiritually speaking for you and me. First of all, we wash in the blood. The second thing is, we have that anointing. We already have an anointing. What is that anointing? It's the Holy Spirit of God. We're indwelt by the Spirit of God. God wants us to be washed in the blood, cleansed by His hand, and then He wants us to be anointed by the Spirit of God. Now, if we want to get at His feet to find rest, we need to have that holy anointing. Amen. Brother, that's what God likes. When God looks down, He don't care how you look in no sense at all. Amen. He don't even care how you smell as long as you got the Holy Ghost on you. Amen. He'll accept you in the blood. First of all, He looks at the blood. He looks at the Spirit. Brother, those two things that are on us, God said, hey, you can come on in and sit down at my feet. Amen. Number two, you see. So we look at that tonight. And then we'll find that this is a sweet-smelling odor that God wants tonight. And He wants us to have it. That's what God loves. He loves to have us washed in the blood. He sees the blood. He looks over at me. He looks over at you. He looks down in the past. He knows what I've done. He knows what you've done. Matter of fact, tell you the truth tonight, God knows what you're going to do tomorrow. I don't even know what I'm liable to do tomorrow. But God does. And he looks at that and he said, hey, I'm just blind to the fact because I look a little closer. I can't see nothing but the blood. And it's under the blood. Amen. And I'm glad it's under the blood. So he looks at the blood. He sees that a holy anointing of the Spirit of God upon us. And God says, come on in. Third thing she says to her. Hurriedly. The third thing. And he said, and put thy raiment upon thee. What in the world is that a type of? In other words, she said, I want you to put on the best you got. That's what Naomi said to Ruth. Put on the best that you've got. You're going to see the Redeemer. You're going to see the One that can take you and from this day forward give you rest and prosperity and take care of you where you'll never have to worry about anything the rest of your life. You see what Naomi, the church, is telling her? Alright. Said, alright, wash yourself. Get anointed. Then I want you to put on that good garment. Put on thy raiment upon thee. I want you to go down there. Now what's that? You said, preacher, do we have any raiment? According to the Word of God, we have been what? Clothed in the righteousness of God. My righteousness is as filthy rags, but He's took off the old robe. Amen. You remember what happened? You remember what happened to the prodigal when he come home? The father looked at him and he took off it and he put on that robe. Amen. Give him a new robe. I want you to know tonight, God put on a brand new robe on me and a brand new robe on you when we got saved. And now we're robed in the righteousness of God. You know what righteousness is? It's right living. God wants us to clean up the act. God wants us to put on good raiment. He also wants us to be anointed. God wants us to live right. You can't get at the feet of Jesus and find rest if you don't live right. Amen? Praise God, that's pretty good preaching if I have to say so tonight. Amen. It's the truth. We know tonight that's the way it is. And we go on and we look at this thing. Brother, they got that anointing. They got that washing of the blood and then put on that raiment. Number four. Then she said something else to her. She said, and get thee down to the floor. Get thee down to the floor. What's that? That's looking at this place, it just means tonight, get thee down to the floor. It means go where He's at. Go down to where He's at. And brother, it also carries the thought of humility. The way up with God is down. We humble ourselves, God will exalt us. But if we exalt ourselves, God will abase us. Amen. Nobody's ever got to rest and got down at the feet of Jesus unless they walked in with humility. Humble before God. That's how we're to come before God. Is it right? Amen. Washed in the blood. Filled with the Spirit of God. Clothed in the robe of righteousness. And humble before the Lord. Amen. And then we'll look at that, and furthermore, you'll find a little further down there it said, and uncover his feet and lay thee down. Now, what did that mean? We'll go back and talk about some of this other in just another time or two. But tonight I'm talking about this in particular. What did she mean when she said, now, Ruth, I want you to watch him, and when he drinks and he's not intoxicating himself, don't you even think about that. I imagine somebody said, oh, when he got all drunk, he got drunk, and it don't say nothing about that. Well, if you're going to throw a little barley up in the air, you're going to win a little barley, I'll guarantee you, you'll get thirsty. And you'll get hungry. And he's going to work, and he can't work no more. And when he got through working, then he'd eat, and he drank, and he went to sleep. And she said, watch where he goes, mark the floor. In other words, see where he lays, and that's what they did. They pulled up their garment up over them, and in those days, I've read a little bit of history about this stuff, and what they did, they spent the night there. All during the whole harvest they was doing that because they had to take care of what they had. That was their living. And so there they were. They covered themselves and slept there at night. And so it's customary for them to do that. So Ruth, and it's in those days customary, and some of the Orientals and some of those other countries do that. As a matter of fact, I remember a little of this when I was a boy. I understand a little bit about this. I was raised with a big family. Was any of y'all ever raised with a big family? Some of you were. Maybe you understand what I'm talking about. The beds, we didn't have as many, everybody didn't have a bedroom. We was raised in houses that didn't have too many bedrooms. Amen. And here we were. There's three or four of us slept in the same bed every night. And there's a few of us had this. Have anybody ever slept crosswise the foot of the bed? Has anybody ever done that? All right. See? You tell on you that. Well, that's what she done. Now, she didn't go down there and stick her feet up in the feet of Boaz. She uncovered and laid down crosswise. And that's the customary thing. You study your Bible, and you'll find that's what they did. Study your history. You'll find that's what they did. Well, then he finds out somebody's in his feet, and he finds it, and we'll talk about that in a later lesson. But what she done, she uncovered it, and she said to her, said, you go down there and uncover his feet and lay thee down. And then here she said, I want you to not only bow down before him, but I want you to lay down before him. Now we're getting into another step of humility. That's the fifth thing. Lay down before. Hey, the Bible said cleanse yourself through the blood, through the Spirit of God. Then the third thing is to put on the robe of righteousness. The fourth thing is for us to go and bow at His feet. Go at His feet and then lay down at His feet. Got me? And then when you get there, when you do this one thing, when you get there, don't do nothing else. Don't do nothing else right there until He says something. Let Him tell you what He wants you to do. Amen? Now you say, what's that a meaning of? It is. And uncover His feet and lay thee down, and He will tell thee what thou shalt do. That means the next thing, when you're bound at His feet, led at His feet, amen. We don't even deserve to bow at the feet of Jesus. We ought to be laying at the feet of Jesus tonight. Amen. That didn't sound like that went over too good. But that's why we have a problem we got. We're just bowing sometimes casually, little. But we need to lay down at His feet. Hey, if He got up, He could step on us. And brother, that's about what we need. We're so unworthy tonight. If Jesus stepped on us, we deserve it. We bow at His feet. We lay at His feet. And then when He gets there, you wait on Him. What's that mean? Well, first of all, it means you're submissive to His will. Be submissive to His will. Not only that, but when He speaks, you be obedient to His Word. Do you want rest from Jesus? Do you want to get to the place that you'll never worry about another problem in this life? That you'll never let nothing bother you? I have seen some people that I don't believe anything bothered them. Now, I'm not talking about ungodly men. I'm talking about men and women who love God. I've seen people that went through every trial and trouble that they faced, seemed like they could go through it, and I'd look at them and I'd say, they have got the experience and they have got the example, and I wish I had what they've got, because they can go through troubles and it don't seem to ever bother them at all. I'm wringing my hands and drinking Maalox, amen, trying to get through the day. But God has got some people on the earth that have trusted Him and don't let anything bother them, because they have laid at His feet long enough that they become submissive to His will and obedient to His Word. If He speaks, they get up and they go do what He says and don't question it at all. God asks us to do something sometimes and we'll say, who, me, Lord? Have you ever called on somebody sometimes and you point them out in the crowd? And I've done it myself, especially when I didn't want to do it. They said, brother, and I look around and they say, yeah, I'm talking to you. And you'll say, who, me? They say, yeah, you. And sometimes the Lord does that to you, and you say, me, Lord? You know good and well, He's already pointed you out. So we need to be obedient are submissive to His will and obedient to His word and go forward from there. And then we'll find rest and we'll get to the place that we won't have to worry about everything coming and going. Now, do you want rest tonight? I do. You want to pay the price for it? Most of us don't. Most of us won't. Hey, it ain't easy to get there. I give you 6 steps. I heard they went over them. We could talk about all 6 of them and preach a message on each individual one. But I won't tonight. You hear me? I'm saying to you, I won't rest. So I'm saying, we'll title this, Seeking the Rest, or Seek Rest. And that's what every child of God in this building ought to do tonight, seek rest. That's not a place of quitting. Rest is at the foot of Jesus, not worrying about any problem. Matter of fact, when you sit down in the easy chair, resting your physical body, it ain't very long until them eyelids get heavy and you shut your eyes, and some of you don't claim like you go to sleep, but you check the inside of your eyelids for cracks by sleeping. And you go to blowing Z's, and sometimes you wake yourself up a snoring. And I said, my wife sometimes say, was you asleep? And I said, no. She said, you sure snored like it. You understand? Well, did you know why you sleep like that? Because you got some rest. You're not worried about nothing. Now, I'll tell you what, some of you got so many problems. Of course, the older I get, the harder it is for me to sleep. I understand that, and I reckon that's just part of the older part of life, I reckon. Sometimes I can sleep like a, well, I start to say a baby, but some of them don't sleep too good. But sometimes I sleep and never wake up. Very few times I go through life now at night without waking up at all. Amen. If I, matter of fact, I think I'd go check the doctor, see if there's anything wrong with me if I slept all night and didn't wake up at my age. But a few years ago, I could do that. And I can go to bed, and if I've got trouble on my mind and things are bothering me and something's disturbing me, you know what I do? I lay right there and say, well, maybe in the next hour I'll go to sleep. And then when that hour's up, I look at that and I say, well, if I go to sleep now, I'll get to 1, 2, 3, 4 hours. Sounds like somebody else has done that.
Amen.
And then we'll lay there another hour, and I look at the clock and I say, well, I'll get 3 hours. Surely, Lord, let me go to sleep.
Amen.
And sometimes I have that problem when I ain't got no problems. Amen. It just happens. But I'm telling you, when you sit down at the easy chair, if I could just pretend I'd come home from work and sitting down in my easy chair, I believe I'd sleep all night. Because it's so easy to get. Why is it? Because you let everything, and that's where you relax. So at the feet of Jesus, you're not worried and troubled about anything. You understand what I'm saying? And that's where we all need to be. God help us. Seek rest tonight, child of God. Naomi's told her what to do, and we'll go on and study and see if she does it. Matter of fact, we'll read that tonight, right quickly. And she said unto her, all thou sayest unto me, I will do. Amen. Once you get instruction from the church, what should you do? Do what it said. Amen. Amen. And she went down under the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. She went ahead and done what she's supposed to do. And then we'll see what the results are later. Heads bowed. I pray tonight God will help you. I hope it's been a help and a challenge and strength. Maybe a little different. Amen. But I pray tonight we find that rest. I certainly want to find the rest that God wants me to have. Or that I'm not worried and troubled about anything. Somebody said he's happy-go-lucky. Nothing seems to bother him. Maybe it's trusting God. It's hard to get there, ladies and gentlemen. It really is. Let's stand. That's where we need to be. Maybe you ought to come and pray about it. Come on. Come on. Right now.